This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. If you don't work in the healthcare industry, you might not be familiar with Alabama's Certificate of Need process. It's bureaucratic, often with mounds of paperwork and legal fees, but determines what healthcare facilities get built in the state and, in some cases, which ones are blocked. We talk about the process and some changes in this morning's Magic City Marketplace. Joining me is the editor of the Birmingham Business Journal, Ty West. Good morning, Ty.
How are you?
Doing well. What is this Certificate of Need process, and how has it been playing out among healthcare providers?
It's basically the process that if you're a healthcare provider and you want to do some sort of project, whether it's a new facility you want to build, an expansion, you want to relocate or move, it has to get state approval through the Certificate of Need process. But part of that is a provision that allows your competitors to contest your plans. They might come out and say, you can't move your hospital because that area doesn't have a need according to the state health plan. So it really allows competitors to kind of do some gamesmanship and block their competitors' plans. And that, over the years, resulted in a pretty substantial backlog of healthcare projects in Jefferson County, which totaled about $657 million about 5 years ago.
So what are the changes that have been made to this process?
Well, in the wake of that backlog, in the wake of some really high-profile cases like the battle over Trinity's relocation to 280, they made some changes in terms of the legal protocol and the steps they have to follow. They streamlined that. They removed a couple steps. They also put some hard timeline parameters on a few things. So we took a look, just digging into that, to really find out, did that make a difference? And it turns out it really did. It made a pretty substantial difference. It's not because providers haven't been announcing plans for new facilities. It's because the process is moving a lot faster.
So the process has been streamlined. There's less of a backlog, but it still seems that Certificate of Need process could still be used by big operations to block competitors.
And that's one thing opponents of this say. I mean, you think about Alabama as a free market state, and this is definitely an instance where Alabama isn't really a free market state. And some experts around the country have said that this kind of gives a advantage to the bigger providers. It says that it gives them kind of the ability to kind of block some competition from maybe companies that are more agile, trying to do some innovative things. And some providers, they might not admit it out in the open, but they definitely have used this process just to stall projects. I think if you talk to the healthcare providers out there, they view CON as kind of a necessary evil. They like it when it allows them to kind of stifle maybe their competition a little bit or just hold their competition back from doing a project they think might hurt their business. But when it's their project that they want to put there, they're not as big a fans of it.
Well, also, Alabama lawmakers overrode Governor Robert Bentley's veto of the general fund budget, meaning the Medicaid system has $85 million less than what the governor and the Medicaid commissioner says is needed to maintain services. It also threatens a transition to a managed care system. And Ty, with regard to this transition, where does that sit in light of this budget?
Well, they told us it's really stalled right now, and that has a lot of healthcare companies in the state really concerned, including several here in Birmingham. They've been hiring a lot to accommodate this new model of care and get planned for these RCOs, these new regional care organizations. They're really the focal point of this overhaul that the state was trying to do of its Medicaid system. We talked to one CEO of a hospital in Huntsville who's saying, well, we'd already hired a bunch of folks. We were planning to hire a lot more. We've had to put those plans on the back burner right now until we see how this plays out. And they're also just kind of upset because, I mean, this was a lot of work that went into it, and they're like, to get this close to the finish line, to get the federal government to agree to give us all this funding, and that's one aspect of this, is Alabama could lose a considerable amount of federal funds. They're just kind of frustrated that they get this close to the finish line and then have something like this happen.
Well, apart from this transition, what else do providers have to deal with given this budget situation?
I think the providers right now, they're really concerned the most about the impact of this on physician payments, because those reimbursements they get from Medicaid are a key part of their budget. Once they start seeing how this comes in and how this affects it, I think you could see some pretty negative consequences, especially in rural areas. And some people, experts told us that you might see a situation where some hospitals and providers stop working with Medicaid patients, which would be devastating for many in the Alabama community, both on the healthcare provider side and also just on the patient side as well.
Well, finally, in 2010, the Birmingham Business Alliance developed a 5-year economic development plan called Blueprint Birmingham. With that time frame through, they're back with a new plan called Blueprint 2020. And what do we know about this plan?
We don't know a ton yet, and frankly, we might not know a ton because they said they're not going to release the exact specifics of the plan. They said that they don't want their competitors knowing what they're doing. But what we do know is it's going to be a cluster-based approach to economic development. That's something that's been kind of rising in popularity in recent years. The idea of it is if you find target industries where your metro area has a cluster, the concentrated mass of employers in that network. The idea is that if you have that critical mass, every job you recruit to that industry is going to have a multiplier effect. Now, Birmingham's clusters are going to be metal manufacturing, machinery manufacturing, automotive, financial, life sciences, some technology thrown in there. So they're really going to hone in on 8 key clusters and try to grow those industries. What we've talked to some experts around the country, they say the cluster theory is something that a lot of communities have embraced. They're not so certain about the idea of not releasing the specifics of the plan. They kind of pointed to Austin and said, if you look at Austin, their entire plan is out there for the public to view, has some very set goals. BBA has not announced the specific goals of the plan. They've said they're going to be higher than the previous blueprint Birmingham, but they haven't said specifically what the goals of 2020 are going to be. And that concerned a few of the economic development experts around the nation we talked to.
Ty West is the editor of the Birmingham Business Journal. Ty, good to have you here.
Thanks a lot.